This week's sermon summary is from Philippians chapter 4. We looked at verses 4 through 7. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Before I even start, I want to make a quick disclaimer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you to stop taking any medication that an actual doctor has prescribed. I'm simply seeking, as a pastor of my church, to biblically counsel towards a biblical perspective of anxiety and how God wants you to deal with it according to His Word. Maybe a result of listening to this will be you going and talking to your doctor about some medication you are on, and whether or not it's actually necessary, and whether or not you may be trying to treat medically what is actually a spiritual issue. I will say this, psychiatrists and that type of thing, if you're seeing one of those, go and talk with your pastor. Go find a biblical counselor who can advise you from God's Word. I started off the message, and I'd encourage you to go and listen to it if you have the time, but I started off the message by just sharing some incredibly disturbing ideas on anxiety by very popular preachers. I looked up their messages on YouTube, and people who I would consider false teachers or very close. And there was one individual with over 1 million subscribers to their YouTube page and said some really outrageous things that are in contradiction to God's Word. So I recognize that there is a lot of ideas, or there are a lot of ideas, and there's a lot of misguidance put out there in contradiction to what God's Word has to say about anxiety and depression. And that's why I wanted to spend time in these verses. Paul starts off in verse 4 by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord." We rejoice or find our joy in one source, or we ought to, in the Lord. The person who ever was and ever is, the person who never disappoints, the one who made the greatest sacrifice possible to procure our salvation, the one who never changes, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, in our Savior Jesus Christ, and in the Father, whom loves us through the Son. This is why nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God has a love for us who are in His Son, trusting in Him as their Lord and Savior. And so my encouragement is this, or from Paul really, it's not mine, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice not in your circumstances, not in your job, not in your money, but rather in the Lord. And he says, rejoice in the Lord how or when? Always. Surely, Paul, you don't expect us to rejoice when we lose a loved one, or we are suffering from chronic disease or pain, or suffering from a loss of a job, or a loved one, the loss of a loved one's respect, or a child gone astray. But he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says it again. Again, I will say rejoice. He really, really, really wants us to get this point. Rejoice. You can have joy not in your circumstances, but in who your Lord is. He encourages us to let our gentle spirit be known to all men. This word gentle is a little hard to carry across into the English, but it's a generous, kind, caring, or giving spirit. So one who is not focused on self will rarely be anxious, because anxiety stems from a worry about your own well-being. He encourages then, out of the blue, the Lord is near. Our author seemingly randomly inserts an all-changing truth. We could be commanded to rejoice, be giving, not to be anxious, and so on and so on, and all of it would be impossible if it weren't for this one truth, that the Lord, the incredible, all-powerful Creator, is near to us. Through salvation, by His Spirit, as we pray, and coming again. Therefore, there can always be joy. There's no need for worry. It is like a husband and a wife that can be doing just about anything together, cleaning the kitchen or cleaning the bathroom. They can enjoy it, not because of what they're doing, but rather because of the company that they're keeping. We have the greatest company possible, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He then says, be anxious for nothing. We could put it into the positive. Do not be anxious for anything. I recently watched The Lion King with my young children, the live one, or obviously not live, but the realistic new one that they came out with. And there's a scene where the two lion cubs, Simba and Nala, go into the forbidden territory, and they get attacked by a cackle of hyenas. And after running terrified and nearly being lunched, the king lion arrives and he fights off the hyenas. And at the end of the scene, it struck me, the lion cubs, it shows them walking confidently right between all the hyenas and turning their backs on them, almost in a pompous way. Not because there were no hyenas, and not because of their own strength, but because of the presence of the king. Our Savior, our God, is sovereign, and he is in control, and he's over anything that comes into our life. He may not take the trial away, but he will sustain us through the trial. He says that we are to pray in everything. By praying and making supplication with a thankful heart, we're to let our request be made known unto God. And what will happen? The peace of God. God's peace from him. First, obviously, you need to have peace with God, as Romans 5 points out. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But if you've been justified by faith, then you can have peace from God. And we do not need to fear. I want to leave with this encouragement. I'm going a little long. Sometimes the times that we do this the best is in the midst of a trial or some big questionable time. But when life is normal, full of everyday annoyances, everyday struggles, and everyday questions, sometimes we can lose sight of how vital it is to run to Christ, to run to God, not just when the house is on fire, but every second of every day. Do not worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you will eat or drink or what you will wear. You can't add a cubit to your height. Jesus masterfully turns a simple picture of birds eating each day and lilies being arrayed in beautiful apparel, and he uses the picture to point to the gracious loving Father. When your eyes are fixed on him, the storms disappear. They don't necessarily go away, but they can disappear because you're being held and sustained by his grace and his mercy. So go boldly before the throne of mercy and grace to receive those things through Christ, our great high priest. Hope this is an encouragement. Don't be anxious. Trust in God. Have a great day.